The passage today is from Mark chapter 10, verse 15. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it.
So good afternoon, everyone. My name's Will, just you can call me Will. And our family and I are really thankful to be able to come here to share a little bit about our mission work in Taiwan. Okay, so we live in a more marginalised, older area of Taiwan, a district called Wanhua. And Wanhua is actually a very big district. It comprises of a youth area, okay, the red light district, and also a more family-friendly residential area. And that's where we, thankfully, can live. My wife, Edna, she works in a women's centre in the red light district. And their focus is, the name of the centre is called the Pearl Family Garden. And their focus is to reach out and share Christ's love with older age prostitutes. And what I mean by that, women in their 40s, 50s, 60s and older who work the streets and also work in what's called tea houses. Okay? Tea houses are a euphemism for where men pay women to drink alcohol, sing karaoke, and also to organise for things outside. The Pearl Family Garden run a weekly lunchtime fellowship. They have a craft group where a number of the ladies can earn a little bit of extra money making craft. And they also go out onto the streets and alleyways to share Christ, to meet women, to support them, maybe pray with them, encourage them. And we're talking about women who would never usually ever enter a church building. We have a little book table at the back. Just one book I would like to recommend. You may have seen it before, Unbound. It's a story of three Taiwanese women who were caught up in addictions, broken relationships, and spirit worship. And essentially it just shows how the love of Christ can penetrate into the deepest of dark places. Feel free at the end of the service to have a browse if you want to purchase or ask us questions. That's all right, don't worry. Yeah. Thank you. I'll put it over here. A number of months ago, I had a dream. It was a bad dream. It was of me standing up in front of a church like this in Taiwan, and I was going to give a message in Mandarin. And as I looked at my notes, I realised that, in fact, I didn't have proper notes. I wasn't prepared. And it came time to read the scripture. And so I got out the scripture, and as I started reading, I realised that there were a number of characters, Chinese characters, that I wasn't familiar with, that I hadn't learned. And so I chose to either leave them out or knowingly mispronounce them. And then to make matters worse, after I'd finished reading the scriptures, a very kind female pastor stood up, commended me on a job well done, and then in front of the whole congregation asked me to reread the scriptures, correcting all my mistakes as I went. Nightmare. Okay, so the passage today I feel sums up how I felt in that dream. And let's just read it. It's Jesus speaking, and he says, I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Now, most of us here, looking around, we're either adults or young adults, and the idea of thinking about Jesus as a child would may seem somewhat foreign. And yet, Jesus here explicitly states, okay, I tell you the truth, he's emphasising the point, okay, unless you receive him as a child would, you will never enter into his kingdom. We are given some details, if we read it in context, some details as to the passage, what was happening in first century Judea. Jesus was, as often the case, teaching the people, and no surprises here, the crowds were flocking to him. Okay, people may have heard about his miracles or driving out demons. They heard him teach and they wanted to listen to him. I mean, come on, who wouldn't? I mean, I'm sure you and I would be the same. We would love to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear him teach. parents were bringing their children along, and of course the parents wanted Jesus to touch them or touch the children or pray for the children. And when the disciples saw this, they thought this was not okay. Now the reasons aren't given why the disciples thought it was not okay. Maybe Jesus was particularly busy. Maybe it was the disciples' rest time. Okay, maybe the kids were running around and just, you know, a real ruckus. Okay, we're not told. But all we're told is that when the children came to Jesus, the disciples rebuked them. You know, go away. You know, kids' day's Friday, not Sunday. Or, you know, come back at sunset. Whoever, we don't know. But when Jesus saw the disciples rebuking them, he became upset. And he said, no, let the children come to me. Let the children come to me. The kingdom of heaven is for people like these. And just as the disciples rebuked the kids or their parents, so Jesus corrected, okay, put straight with the disciples. I'm here for these people. Okay, I want to bless them. And I believe that that's what Christ wants to do here for us as well. He wants to bless us. He wants to bless us. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. There's a well-known Swiss theologian. His name's Karl Barth. And he was once asked in a press conference, what is the most profound truth you have learnt in your studies? What is the most profound truth you have learnt in your studies? And without hesitating, this very learned and intelligent man replied, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And I just think for all this man's understanding of Christian dogma and doctrine and orthodoxy, he was able to sum up his belief in a children's song. And I think we have a lot to learn here. I think I have a lot to learn. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. I remember some years ago traveling to China on a holiday. And I went with my good friend Michael. Michael's from mainland China. And when he heard that I wanted to go to China just on a holiday, he asked if he could come along. And I thought, you know, fantastic, you know. Not only is he a good friend, but, you know, he knows the language well and, you know, could help. And so he was a good friend and a great help as well. Incidentally, Michael had recently at that time become a Christian. He had become a Christian. And I remember one night we were in a hotel room and I was just reading a book. And I saw Michael. He was kneeling beside his bed praying. And, you know, I was, you know, intently reading my book, you know, not really listening in, but I could hear him. He was praying in English and he was repeating this phrase again and again. And the phrase was, Daddy God. Daddy God. And I remember thinking at the time, oh, Michael, you know, I didn't say this, but oh, Michael, no one refers to God as Daddy God. It's, you know, Almighty Father or Father in Heaven or something else. No one says Daddy God. And then it hit me. You know, I grew up in the church, you know, from a baby. I always attended church. And yet here was this babe in Christ, a new Christian, a new believer. He had a closeness, an intimacy with God that I never had at that time. I learnt a lot that evening in China. Whoever will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And so I want to ask you, what are your prayers like? Are they like Michael's, sincere? Or are they more fine-sounding, more composed? You know, if we were to stand up here and pray, then you know, everyone would go, yes, amen, something like that. Can you come before God in the depths of despair, like David did in the Psalms? Can you pour out your heart to God? Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Today's topic, or the title, is God Uses Ordinary People. I feel we could tweak that a little bit and say, God wants to use you. God can use you, and he wants to use you at whatever stage of your life. If you're a new Christian, I think that's probably goes in your favour. If you're not a new Christian, like myself, sometimes I think we need to relearn the basics. I volunteer at a reform school for adolescent boys in Taiwan. I join a team. It's a small team, a group from different churches. And we go to this reform school. It's in Taoyuan, which is the neighbouring city of Taipei. And it's a school of about 400 kids. They've all got in trouble with the law for some reason. Could be drugs, assault, theft. And they're locked up from anywhere between a few months to over a year. And this group of us, we visit one class of about 40 students twice a month on a Saturday morning. We run a program. We sing with the boys. Okay, they love singing. Taiwanese kids love, or anyone loves singing. We might share a Bible story with them. We might show a little clip about, you know, God's story on DVD. Someone might share a story of how they came to know God or answer to prayer. And then if we have enough volunteers, we'll break into small groups. I really like this picture. Does anyone know why I really like this picture? Okay. Because all the students are intently listening to the volunteer. And I'd like to say that when I'm leading, all the kids are just as interested, but unfortunately it's not always that case. And then in the afternoons, there's time for one-on-one follow-up. And I remember meeting this one boy, Chen, his surname's Chen, and talking with him one afternoon. Actually, it was more like listening to him one afternoon. Chen was 15 years last year, and he had a lot on his plate. He was dealing with anger. He's dealing with shame, the shame that, you know, brought to his family, being locked up. And although he didn't say it, I suspect he was dealing with hatred. Because one thing about Chen is that he was then, and I suspect still is, illiterate. And in a society that places so much emphasis on the academics, being illiterate, an illiterate teenager, can be very unforgiving. And so poor Chen, he, you know, talked to me about some of the challenges in class, the ridicule, the laughing that went on when he was asked to read something out or write something down. He couldn't do it. And as I was listening to Chen, I wanted to share with him and to encourage him with a scripture. And as I was listening, I was thinking, what can I share with him? And this verse came to mind. Okay, in Isaiah chapter 40, okay, even youths grow tired and weary, young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord, Chen, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will rise on wings like eagles, run and not grow weary, walk and not be faint, okay? And so, after he'd finished, I kind of flicked him off a bilingual Bible. So, you know, quickly look at the English. And then, you know, usually when I'm meeting one-on-one with the guys, I'll ask them to read out the Chinese. Okay, their Chinese is much better than mine, and they don't usually have a problem. Okay, but it was just the two of us, and Chen is, was illiterate. He couldn't read that. And, I hadn't prepared beforehand. I didn't know I was going to share this scripture. And so I could recognize some of those characters, yep, but probably only half. And, I couldn't ask someone to come over, And so, what would you do? What would you do? And so I thought, okay, well, I don't know the word for eagle in Chinese, but I know the word for bird. I don't know how to say, soar on wings like eagle, but I know how to say fly. And so I tried to summarize for Chen about this. So I was there and I was using actions and going. And, to be honest, I think it wasn't the most clear explanation of a scripture. But to be honest, I think I looked more like a chicken than an eagle. Okay. But, why am I sharing this with you? I'm sharing it because I believe that God can use ordinary people. God chooses to use ordinary people. Another just short story I'd like to share is a missionary to China in the 19th century by the name of George Stott. Now, George Stott was actually rejected three times by the mission organization. I would have thought three times, that's enough for me. Okay, I'll give up. Okay. They basically said George had a disability. It's not obvious in that picture, but he had a disability. He only had one leg. And the leaders in the mission organization basically said to him, George, you'd be a great support on the home side. Okay, but not not on the field. You know, it would not be appropriate for you to go to the field. You only have one leg, okay, and so forth. But George Stott, he had such a strong conviction that this was God's will for his life. He actually requested to have a meeting with the head of the organization, a gentleman by the name of Hudson Taylor. And Hudson Taylor agreed. And in this meeting, Hudson Taylor heard George Stott's story and heard his conviction to serve God in China. And I'm sure after some prayerful reflection, Hudson Taylor agreed, okay, we'll let you go to China as a missionary. He was one of the first with the China Inland Mission to go. And anyway, after full-time language study, he was to go off to a city. And he requested to go to a place in China that had no church or no known believers. He was a pioneer. Now, the second part of the 19th century in China was not, you know, the safest of places. The Opium Wars had been fought. The unequal treaties had been signed. Ports in China were forcibly opened. Okay, and that included missionaries who were allowed to go in to the inland parts. And so no wonder many of the local Chinese, had some degree of hostility to all things foreign, including missionaries. And so, as the story goes, as George and his family were on the outskirts of, they went to a place called Wenzhou on the east coast of China, not far from Taiwan. And a band of thugs went out to greet them. And basically what they were going to do, they were going to beat him up and chase him out of the city. You know, you're not welcome here. And as they came towards George, they said to him, you know, run. Now, George only had one leg. And so what George did, he's a very bold man, he actually showed them his missing leg. And he said, you try running with one leg. Now, apparently, this broke the ice. Everyone started laughing. And the hostility, at least towards George and his family in that region, began to decrease. God uses ordinary people. He chooses to use ordinary people. Just by way of postscript, Wenzhou today in China is regarded as the Jerusalem of the East. It's the one city that has the most number of Christians than anywhere else in that country. Okay, I've never been there, but apparently there's churches everywhere, and numbers are given of like 10% Christians. God uses ordinary people. Does anyone recognize this lady? She was in the news not that long ago. Does anyone recognize her? Her name's Miriam Ibrahim. She's 27 years old, a medical doctor from Sudan. She was in the news not too long ago. As I share, you may become familiar with her story. She was arrested last year on charges of apostasy, that is, abandoning Islam. Under Sudan's strict Islamic law, a woman is not allowed to change religions. And the religion of the children is determined by that of the father. And indeed, Miriam, her father was, or is, I'm not sure if he's still alive, a Muslim. But she was raised by her mother, a Christian. And ever since she was a baby, all she knew was the Christian faith. And there was an international outcry when a court in Khartoum, the capital of Sudan, sentenced Miriam to 100 lashes and death by hanging. Now, Miriam was pregnant at the time with her second child, and she was not given proper access to medical care. These are her words. She says, "When it was time to give birth, they refused to remove the chains from my ankles. So I had to give birth with chains on my ankles." She was subjected to intense daily pressure to convert. She had visits from the Muslim Scholars Association, okay, imams or religious leaders, who would come to her and recite passages of the Quran. And, you know, as I was reading her story and thinking about her, I had to question myself, what would I do? I mean, she was locked up for months. She has a loving husband, a Christian from the south of Sudan. She has a child already, and she had just given birth. And her future was death. What would I had to do. You know, all she had to do was deny Christ. That's all she had to. She only had to just recite this prayer, this Muslim prayer. She didn't have to believe it in her heart. She just had to say it with her mouth. And she would be set free. She would be free to go back to her normal life. She's a doctor. But she would not give in. She would not. And then it occurred to me in the Bible about the Apostle Peter. Now, he denied Christ not once, not twice, but three times in a matter of hours. And yet God used him to be one of the great leaders of the early church, one of the authors of the New Testament. Miriam didn't give in. Peter did. God used them both. God uses ordinary people. And God wants to use you, wherever part of your life is, wherever you're at. God wants to use you. Now, we've already learned the scripture today, okay? Mark 10:15. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. But we haven't looked on to the next verse, okay? And that's the one preceding it. And Jesus took the children into his arms, he put his hands on them, and he blessed them. And I believe that's what God wants to do for us. Not because we've done great exploits for him, or because we're so learned in the scriptures, not because we can recite passages or we've sacrificed so much, simply because he's our dad in heaven and he loves us. And what earthly father doesn't want to bless his children? God's just the same. God's just the same. He wants to bless us for no other reason than that he loves us. An adult makes their own decisions, but a child seeks the will of the Father. We need to humbly come before him as a child would and seek his will for our life. God uses ordinary people. He wants to use you. You're important to him. Okay, we need to seek him for his will. I'm going to pray. But first, I'm just going to give you a moment or two of reflection. Just respond to God in your own way. And then I'm going to close in a prayer. So if you want, you can close your eyes or you can bow, whatever. I'll just give you a moment or two just to respond to God in your own way. And then after a moment or two, I'm going to pray. If you feel that you'd like to respond in words, feel free to repeat after me. Dear Daddy in heaven, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, may your will be done. May you become greater and we become lesser. Lord, have your way in my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.